KCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And we do thank you for joining us as we're involved in a two-day series on Crosstalk dealing with the matter of future events, things which will come to pass. Yesterday we addressed the topic, millions missing, what just happened? And today we're continuing our discussion as we address the topic, millions missing, what happens next? It's our purpose to encourage those listening who do not know Christ as Savior that each will realize the importance of this day, this hour, to trust in Christ as your Savior. That which awaits unbelievers in Christ, those who refuse to trust in Him, face a future of judgment, of eternal separation from God, it's going to be eternal horror. And to those who know Christ, we'll have everlasting life with Jesus Christ in heaven, eternal joy, eternal peace, eternal rejoicing and worship of the Savior. But also that believer then today is called upon to lead a clean, pure life before the Lord. Well, joining us for day number two in our two-day series, we welcome back Dr. Ed Heinsohn, the founding dean of the School of Divinity and distinguished professor of religion at Liberty University. He's a speaker on the King is Coming broadcast, an active conference speaker. He has served as the editor of five major study Bibles, the author or co-author or general editor of over 40 books, many on the topic of Bible prophecy, including Can We Still Believe in the Rapture? And 15 future events that will shake the world. Dr. Heinsohn, good to have you back with us today.
Thank you, Jim. It's always good to be with you. And it's an exciting thing to talk about for believers. It's also a very serious thing to talk about for unbelievers.
Indeed it is. And yesterday we did speak about the event called the Rapture. And ladies and gentlemen, if you missed that program, please go back and listen at crosstalkamerica.com, as it really sets the foundation for the things we're going to be talking about today. And for time purposes, we're not able to go back over all the information from yesterday, else we'd have no time for new information today. Dr. Heinsohn, we're going to follow two tracks today. The first is for those who know Christ as Savior. The second is for those who have not placed their trust in Christ as to what will take place on the earth and the future judgment. We'll spend the majority of our time today discussing what will be happening on the earth and future judgment, but let's, and perhaps in just a few minutes, talk about the believer, the person who know Christ as Savior. The rapture's just happened. What awaits him after the rapture?
Well, I think for the believer, there is that blessed hope, is what Paul called it in Titus. He was looking forward to the coming of Christ and was emphasizing that everybody that is anticipating and loving the appearing of Christ would ultimately receive a crown of righteousness. So he's anticipating that once the rapture occurs, believers are going to be caught up into the Lord's presence, taken to the Father's house in heaven. That fulfills John 14. Jesus promised to the disciples, only to the 11 believing disciples. Judas had already left the room at that point in John 14. And to the others, he said, if I go back to the Father's house, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Caught away in the rapture, you're taken to the Father's house, then to the judgment seat of Christ. In 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each of us may receive what is due to us. And you're going to receive then either your rewards or lack thereof as a believer. But at that point, your entire life is evaluated by the Lord himself as a believer. And that term in the Greek New Testament is called the Bema Seat Judgment. This is not the great white throne judgment of unbelievers who are condemned, but rather the evaluation of believers and their service to the Lord. And from there, you go to the marriage, Revelation 19. You have to be caught up into heaven because the marriage of the Lamb takes place in heaven. And yes, it's a symbolic marriage of our union with Christ. And yet at it, we receive the robe of white, the gift of righteousness from the Lord himself that was determined at the Bema Seat Judgment. So I think those things become really clear to me that for the believer, the rapture means caught up into the clouds, on to the Father's house in heaven, to the judgment seat of Christ, to the marriage, and then to the triumphal return after the marriage. Revelation 9, verse 8, the bride of Christ receives the robe of white. Then in verse 14, those that are robed in white march out of heaven and return with Christ to earth, where he defeats the Antichrist and then sets up his millennial kingdom to reign and rule for 1,000 years. And those that have returned with him, as well as the martyrs of the tribulation period who are resurrected, will all share in that millennial kingdom. And as wonderful as that is, it's still not heaven. And ultimately, beyond that, you have the new heaven, the new earth, the new Jerusalem, the eternal city, if you will, the dwelling place with God for believers forever and ever and ever. And it's hard to get your head around sometimes, your mind to grasp it fully. There is no sin there. There's no jealousy. There's no competition. There's no tension. All those things are wiped away. And all the saved of all time are there in a glorified body and in a glorified spiritual state forever and ever and ever, in a time of, I think, busyness, service, serving the Lord in the vast universe that he's created, and yet at the same time in a place of peace and security and blessing, that we have everything positive to look forward to if you know Christ as your Savior.
Amen and amen. Dr. Heinzen, we're going to follow that second track because this is one that we are going to go much further into detail. And that's to focus on the unbeliever, the person who has been left behind. All of a sudden, all over this earth, the news rings out that millions are missing. There was no warning, no emergency alert signals that had gone off to give, you know, warning that this was going to happen. No clear explanation. They're just gone. What happens next?
Well, tragically, I think what happens next is people are going to, and this is an assumption, they're obviously going to be in shock. There would be fear, panic, confusion, trying to figure out what does all of this mean. Just the removal, even if you minimize the number of genuinely born-again Christians, you remove a few million people, you're going to devastate countries and economies and everything else. I think that is what sets the stage then for Satan to enter the heart of someone to become the beast, the Antichrist, to empower that individual to then deceive the world into thinking that he can bring peace and stability out of all of this. And yet every prediction of Scripture is that only ultimately throws the world into chaos and judgment. I'd point people to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 that goes into detail that says once the restrainer is removed, then he who has been waiting to be revealed, the one that Christ will destroy or overthrow with the brightness of his coming, and that's how it's described in Revelation 19 as well, that the lawless one is what Paul called him, the antinomia in the Greek language, the man of sin, the son of perdition, whose coming is after the working of Satan, that Satan will give him the ability to do powers and miracles and deceive those who are perishing.
Because he'll be promoting world peace, will he not?
I think so. I think he'll be promoting world peace and an attempt to regain stability in a confused world, and yet the deception is for those that are perishing because they've refused to believe the message of the truth of the gospel. And so that deception then sets the stage, I think, for those that are left behind during the time of the wrath of Christ and the wrath of God the Father. So when we match that then with those passages in the book of Revelation, those passages are pretty severe. In talking about those that are left behind, they're under that seal judgments in Revelation 6. The Lamb of God, Christ himself, opens the seals on the scroll of judgment and pronounces the judgments that are going to inevitably bring the kingdom of heaven to earth, but in order to do so, it brings destruction and devastation to the lost.
And we're going to look at some of that, Dr. Heinzen, but we, here in the United States, we like to think of ourselves as being a world power, a superpower. Will that be the case after the rapture takes place? Will the U.S. be that superpower?
I think probably not. For the one basic reason that you do have, as bad as things are in America, a relatively high percentage of born-again people in this country that would be taken in the rapture. And if that happens, that's going to throw America into chaos and confusion. And I think no longer a superpower. The Antichrist rises out of, according to Daniel 9, the kingdom that eventually destroyed the Second Temple. Well, that was the Roman Empire. That would tell me the Antichrist in all likelihood will come out of Europe as a powerful European leader trying to galvanize stability after the time of the rapture, he's the one that then leads the deception. But that deception sets the stage then for judgment that comes. Those seal judgments, the water is polluted, the air is polluted, the grass and trees are burning up, there's massive devastation on the planet, and while the Bible obviously doesn't use the term nuclear war, ancient people would have never understood that, at the same time, as you read these descriptions, they certainly sound like nuclear war. Everything is burning up, everything's polluted, it's chaos, and initially, in the book of Revelation, one-third of the entire planet is affected. That is a massive judgment, to the point that the unbelievers then begin to cry out to the rocks and the mountains, fall on us, hide us from the wrath of the Lamb. They know that it's the wrath of Christ. They know that it's the judgment of God, and they still don't repent. That's the saddest thing in the book of Revelation. Over and over it will say, and they did not repent, and they did not repent. They're screaming out to nature to deliver them and not calling on God.
Wow. Dr. Heinzen, now we understand also this Antichrist. Will he not be brokering or bringing about peace in the Middle East around this time as well?
It would certainly appear that way, because you have also those passages in the book of Daniel in the Old Testament, the ninth chapter, that he will make a covenant with many in Israel, promising peace. But in the middle of a seven-year period, he'll break that covenant, break that agreement, and turn against them and deceive them. So you have this warning that is given really to those that are left behind, don't assume that this is really going to work. So all of that is putting together the passages from the Old Testament prophets with the New Testament apostles to get a big picture of what's coming in the future.
Dr. Ed Heinzen is our guest, and folks, when we come back from the break, we're going to be talking more about this Antichrist, and what about the world economy? What does Scripture say about not being able to buy or sell? What is this mark? We'll be back in just 1 minute. This is Crosstalk on the VCY American Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, now I've heard that sometimes germs evolve. Is this true?
Chris, this is a common claim that some germs acquire the ability to infect certain new species, or maybe they become resistant to drugs. But this is not evolution. In fact, it's really devolution, the loss of ability or the loss of genes to accomplish a certain purpose. A recent study showed that the whooping cough bacteria lost a certain suite of genes, which caused the animal host immune system not to recognize it. Now a new animal can be infected, but is this evolution? What happens here is the loss of genes, not the gain of genes as evolution needs. What results is death, not life. While it doesn't fit the evolution view, it does fit the creation followed by the fall and the curse view, and that's the back to Genesis view.
Thanks for tuning in to Back to Genesis.
Millions missing. What happens next? Our topic today here on Crosstalk. Dr. Ed Heinsohn is our guest, and friends, we're talking about the tract for those who don't know Christ as Savior, the people who are left behind on this earth. And Dr. Heinsohn has told us what Scripture talks about, the time of tribulation here upon the earth with the various judgments being unfolded and falling upon the earth. Dr. Heinsohn, let's talk about the economy for just a bit and what we know as what's called the mark of the beast. What can you tell us about this and just the economy during the time?
Well, in the 13th chapter of the book of Revelation, this is all spelled out very clearly. You have two major evil powers that are battling in those days, the beast out of the sea, the picture of the Antichrist, and the beast out of the earth, the false prophet. You appear to have a false religious leader who is authorizing a false political leader to try to take over the world during that period of time, and both of them are empowered by the dragon, which is a symbol of Satan. So, in a sense, you have a kind of evil, almost trinity of sorts, not in the divine sense, but Satan is the power behind the Antichrist and the false prophet. And then it says, the false prophet, verse 16, caused all the people, both great and small, rich and poor, etc., to receive a mark in their right hand or on their foreheads. Now that word mark in the original Greek language of it was written in is karagma. It's literally a tattoo. And they could not buy or sell anything unless they had that mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. So the implication is the Antichrist himself will eventually control the world economically. And then use that economic power to control it militarily as well, but that it's the imposition of this name, number, and insignia that controls the global economy of the last days. And the tragedy then for people that have been left behind is they either receive this mark or they can't buy or sell anything. So there's this economic pressure on them to give in to this no matter what. And then he tells you, here's wisdom. The mark represents in the numeric part of it the number of a man, 666. It's not just three sixes. The original text in the Greek says 666, and it's not the number of anybody that we can figure out right now. Throughout history, people have tried to guess, is it Nero? No, you have to change the spelling of his name to make that work. Or is it Charlemagne or Napoleon? Or is it the Pope? Or is it Hitler or Mussolini or Stalin or anybody I don't like can become potentially a candidate for this? I actually heard somebody say recently, you have this symbol on Monster Energy cans that looks like three V's, Vavs in Hebrew, which can also be pronounced as a W, and maybe that's the mark of the beast. I don't think so. I think the mark of the beast will be imposed after the rapture, after the rise of the Antichrist, and it will be both a number, a name, and an insignia. And I remind people, a credit card technically has all three of those things.
Wow.
So it's like taking that and putting it into maybe a microchip, maybe some kind of a electronic tattoo that can be put on people. If suddenly millions of people are missing, somebody's got to straighten out the economy and distribute food, determine how people are going to survive, and that seems to be what is implied here, so that you have a world that has been left behind under divine judgment. Many of these judgments are cosmic in nature, fire falling from the heavens, etc. But you also have references in the book of Revelation to armies are marching, men are fighting, the world is at war, and it certainly sounds like world war. Things are out of control. I mean, trust me, you don't want to be left behind. This is not going to go well.
So where does this ultimately lead?
I think it eventually leads to Armageddon. So as you continue to read through the book of Revelation, and it moves in sequences, this happens, and then next this happens, and then this happens. It's an interesting book. Revelation is connected with 1,200 usages of the word and. In the Greek language, it's the word chi. This happens, and then this happens, and then this happens, and then that happens. So if you read through Revelation without stopping, you are swept up in a sense of movement. Hmm. We're moving rapidly through these events, through a narrow window of time of 7 years of tribulation, and you have the constant emphasis on the 3.5 years, the 42 months, the 1,260 days, half of that period of time that ultimately leads to that final 3.5 years of great tribulation that culminates in Revelation 16:16 saying God was gathering the nations of the world together at Armageddon. It's the only place in the Bible where that name appears. One verse, Revelation 16:16. And yet almost everybody has heard the term. The Battle of Armageddon, the forces of Antichrist are coming against Jerusalem, coming against people that have come to faith, and now Christ himself returns in Revelation 19 with the raptured church just in the moment of time to defeat the Antichrist and the false prophet. They're banished into the lake of fire. Satan is locked in the abyss for 1,000 years, and Jesus reigns and rules on earth. But in the meantime, he slays the army of the Antichrist, the Bible says, with the sword of his mouth. In other words, not with guns and tanks and bombs. Jesus comes, and he who spoke the world into existence at creation speaks, and the enemy is eliminated. Now imagine being left behind as an unbeliever and possibly being part of the army of the Antichrist. You could actually end up on the wrong side of the Battle of Armageddon when Christ returns and destroys those that have followed the false leader.
Right. A horrible, horrible time here upon the earth. So you mentioned Satan being bound and then loosed. Will people actually follow after Satan once he's loosed again?
Unfortunately, yes. I think the Bible makes that very, very clear. In Revelation 20, that Satan is bound in the abyss for 1,000 years and cannot get out and deceive the nations during that period of time. So the gospel message will spread during the 1,000 years of the millennium. Christ is on earth reigning and ruling with a rod of iron, and Christian influence is pervasive everywhere on the planet. But as people are born to those that are in human bodies still, non-glorified bodies, as the 1,000 years progresses, you're going to have millions of people born during that time. And there's one last test. The big surprise in the book of Revelation is that after a short period of time, Satan is loosed for a brief period and goes about trying again to deceive the nations. And the scripture says those that follow him are as innumerable as the sand of the sea. In other words, a great host of people, even though they've lived in the utopia of the millennium, because their hearts have never been transformed by the Holy Spirit, will follow the temptation of Satan one last time. And that tells me that perfect environments alone don't convert people. It's only the Holy Spirit who can convert a depraved heart into a redeemed and born-again believer. And if you're not really saved, being in a Christian environment, this side of the rapture or the other side, that alone isn't going to save you. That alone isn't going to change you. Only a real, genuine encounter with Jesus Christ is going to change your heart and life forever.
There are some future judgments coming. Speak of the judgment of the beast and of Satan himself.
In the end, Satan loses terribly in the book of Revelation. He's cast to the earth for a short period of time in chapter 12. And then in chapter 20, he's bound in the bottomless pit, the abyss, for 1,000 years. And then finally, even after one last revolt, he's then cast into the lake of fire forever. Now, people tend to think Satan is throwing people in the lake of fire, but the Bible makes it clear, no, God and the angels throw people in the lake of fire. Satan himself gets cast into the lake of fire where the beast and the false prophet had already been thrown 1,000 years earlier. You know, somebody once foolishly said, well, maybe after Satan was in the lake of fire for a long time or in the abyss, maybe he'll finally change his mind and repent. Now, Satan is never going to change his mind. He's never going to repent. He's never going to come to the Father. You always get this picture of Satan in the Bible as he continues to be in rebellion against God. He continues to be the father of lies, the great deceiver, etc. But he himself will ultimately be judged by God. But then the Bible says that all the lost of all time will appear before the great white throne of God in Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 to the end of the chapter, and everybody will be there. The graves will give up the dead in them, the sea will give up the dead in it, etc. And then not only are the lost people thrown into the lake of fire, but then it says in verse 14, then even death and hell were thrown into the lake of fire that burns forever and ever and ever. In other words, for an unbeliever to die and go to hell, like the story Jesus told about the rich man and Lazarus, hell, as bad as it is kind of like going to the city jail for a criminal. You're awaiting trial, and the trial's the great white throne judgment. And then you're sent to the penitentiary. That's the lake of fire. Then that's the worst of the worst. And it's an eternal punishment that goes on and on and on. And the sad thing is, it's an avoidable punishment.
Mm-hmm.
It's something one does not have to suffer if you understand that Jesus suffered in your place on the cross. And he calls you to put your faith and trust in him. He will forgive your sin. He will cleanse your life. He will give you the gift of eternal life in heaven forever. And the good news of the gospel is it's free. It's a matter of saying yes to the offer that God is making available to anyone who will come and take of it freely.
What a contrast between the everlasting joy of those who know Christ and the everlasting torment for those who reject him. And Dr. Hansen, I've heard people say, and I know we're coming upon a break soon, but I've heard people say, I want no part of a God that will condemn people to hell, that will throw people into hell. If he's a God of love, how could he do this?
Because it's not, first of all, his love that sends us there. It's the righteousness of God and the holiness of God that sends people there. Secondly, people say, well, how can he do this to good people? Well, technically, biblically, there are no good people. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Human depravity is what brings that judgment upon us. But if you think about it, does Hitler deserve to be in hell? He killed 6 million Jews, and 30 million people died in World War II because of him personally. Well, most people would say, yeah, he deserves to go to hell. Well, if one person deserves to go to hell, every unbeliever deserves to go to hell. We can come back and talk about that again after the break briefly.
Dr. Ed Hansen is our guest here today on Crosstalk, Millions Missing, What Happens Next. We'll be back in just 1 minute. You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY America Network.
Attacks continue against the Bible. Some accuse the Bible of not being historically accurate. Some insist it's a book written by man filled with error. But did you know that archaeology continues to confirm what's written in Scripture? In the fully illustrated hardcover book, Evidence for the Bible, you are introduced to the world of biblical archaeology. Using full-color pictures and an easily read format, you will see that what has been dug up from the earth confirms the places and events from Scripture. Rulers and kings are documented, battles and their outcomes are confirmed, and details of prophetic utterances are precisely what are known to have happened. This book takes you on a fascinating journey during which the traveler never knows what may turn up with the next trial. It's hard to put this book down as one captivating page leads to another. Evidence for the Bible is available for a donation of $30. Call VCY America at 1-800-729-9829. 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Dr. Ed Heinsohn is our guest today on the broadcast. And day number two in a two-day series, Millions Missing, What Happens Next? And Dr. Heinsohn, as that break came upon us, we were talking about this matter of people who have said, I want no part of a God that's going to throw people into hell. What kind of a God is that? Go ahead and continue your response.
Well, it's interesting. I was watching a TV show one time, and the person that was the host was a lady who was an outspoken atheist, didn't believe in God, didn't believe in hardly anything, and some terrible thing had happened, and some mass murderer had done these awful things, and she kept saying to whoever she was interviewing, tell me that this guy's going to go to hell. He needs to go to hell. Well, instead she's saying somebody needs to go to hell.
Mm.
But the question is why? They go to hell not only because of the things we've all done wrong, but because we fall short of the standard of God. If you think about it in this sense, for God to let just everybody go to heaven in an unredeemed state, they're never going to be happy in heaven. They're never going to be satisfied there. You let Hitler into heaven, he'll kill the Jews. You let Stalin in, he'll kill the Christians. You let suicide terrorists in, they're going to try to eliminate other people, etc. God is looking for people whose hearts have been cleansed and made right and holy before him. And I think the Bible message clearly says that only happens through the cleansing of the blood of Christ.
Mm, amen.
That without that, we don't stand a chance. It's not a question of was I good enough or did I deserve it. Technically, none of us were good enough and none of us deserve it. It's the grace of God that offers the gift of salvation, but the call of the gospel is come, believe, and follow me.
Amen. And folks, as Dr. Heinsohn mentioned and really pleads, that this is avoidable. This future judgment is avoidable. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Today, the day of acceptance. Dr. Heinsohn, we mentioned this yesterday in brief, but perhaps there is a person who is hearing this recording after the millions are missing and wonder what can they do now.
Well, if that's the case, I can tell you that right now, you're already seeing a world leader trying to come to power, trying to bring stability out of chaos, promising to bring peace. You're also going to begin to see these incredible judgments that are coming from God, literally shaking the planet, trying to get people's attention one last time. And I would just urge you, while there's still time and hope, now is the time to call on him, to turn to him, to cry out to him, to say simply, I will receive the gift that you're offering me, and I'll take it by faith. And the invitation of the Bible is pretty basic. Whosoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. But you have to call. Preachers can't pray you into heaven. You have to ask. You have to believe. It's your faith. It's your call. You call on him, and he will not turn you aside. He will immediately respond, and you'll be born of the power of the Spirit of God. I would urge you, come to Christ while there's hope, while there's time. No matter what disasters may be occurring, no matter what challenges you may face, ultimately, heaven awaits those who believe.
Amen. Now, friends, we, of course, are doing this program at a time before the headline says millions missing. And yesterday, we're in this two-part series. Yesterday, Dr. Heinsohn with us, millions missing, what just happened? Today, millions missing, what happens next? And it's our prayer that each of you listening to this program will not be left behind. Further, virtually everyone listening to this program, I know you have friends, you have loved ones you're concerned about who don't know Christ. You can certainly obtain copies of these programs on CD or listen to them online, share the links free with others. But also, we have this book offer we want to tell you about. Many are taking advantage of it. Dr. Heinsohn has co-authored the book, Can We Still Believe in the Rapture? He co-authored this with Mark Hitchcock. We're making this book available for a donation of $16. His book that we've more fully got involved today, 15 Future Events That Will Shake the World, We're offering separately for a donation of $16, but if you'd like these two books together as a set, Can We Still Believe in the Rapture and 15 Future Things That Will Shake the World, we're offering them both as a set for a donation of just $25. It's available online at vcyamerica.org, vcyamerica.org, or you may call 1-800-729-9829 and ask for either of the books or the set, 1-800-729-9829. Today we're opening our phone lines. Our number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829, where we welcome your calls today, 800-733-9829. Dr. Ed Heinsohn is our guest, and talking about these, we've covered a whole lot of material, but one thing about your books, Dr. Heinsohn, is that the message of salvation is clearly presented in these books as well.
It is. Both books end with an appeal to the reader and an appeal to unbelievers to come to faith. So it's a great tool to hand to a friend that is seeking the Lord, or at least asking some tough questions about what's going to happen in the future. The instability of the world in which we live today causes even lost people to ask, what in the world is going on, and where is all this going to end? And the answers from the Bible are actually spelled out in those books. So I hope that that'll be a great help to people personally and something you could share with somebody else as well.
Our lines are packed already. Let's go to Jim in Ohio. Jim, you're on the air.
Hey, I just want to see if you guys could give us like a chapter and verse that says the imminence of the rapture, or that it could happen at any moment.
Okay, the idea of the imminence of the rapture, I think, is spelled out in a lot of places. In Matthew 24, verse 42, Jesus said, keep watching for me to come. That would seem to imply you're watching for the possibility of his return at any moment, at any time. He never said, keep watching for the Antichrist to come. Keep watching for me to come. Then he says in verse 44, be ready for me to come. You get the idea. He could come at any moment. He'll come like a thief in the night. You put that with the passages that he comes to snatch away the church in the rapture, the harpazo, the catching up. Seems to indicate the idea that we're to be left with the idea this could happen at any moment. Now, are there prophecies that might be fulfilled before the rapture? Yes, there are. But there aren't any that have to be fulfilled before the rapture could potentially take place.
And Jim, we'd like to refer you to yesterday's program. We dealt a whole lot more on this topic yesterday. Thanks for the call. Let's go to Florida. Go ahead, caller. You're on the air.
Thank you for this wonderful program. First question is, there's a verse in regards to the son of perdition, and there has to be a falling away. Is that this time frame, I'm assuming? Secondly, the Bible talks about the sheep and goats,
right,
and wheat and tares. And so would that be also this same time frame?
Okay.
And then the third one is, you just mentioned about Matthew 24, where it talks about the maidens, the 10 virgins, 5 were wise, 5 were not. And is that the same that now also, how it says they all slept, but then they all woke up?
Okay, tell you what, we got a lot there, and you got a lot of people lined up behind you. Go ahead, Dr. Heinsohn.
Okay, yeah, I think the passage about the 10 virgins relates to the Jewish believers during the time of tribulation in anticipation for the coming of Christ. He's not coming to marry all 10 girls. That wouldn't make sense biblically. There's only one bride of Christ, and that's the church. The 10 virgins, 5 are prepared, 5 are not. I think the emphasis there is that many of the people that have been left behind will come to faith, but many will not and will not be ready to meet him when he comes. In regard to the other questions, the whole emphasis, I think, there is, again, the separation of sheep and goats seems to take place after the return of Christ, and which he is separating those that have been kind to his brethren after the flesh and those that have not and have been persecuting the people of Israel, etc. So you have a lot of details in Bible prophecy. The big picture is always clear. Jesus is coming, and he's coming back from heaven with his resurrected and raptured church with him. So that has to take place before the return, and at the return, he wins the Battle of Armageddon, establishes a kingdom on earth, and then you have all these other details that have to then be fit into one's view of how this all takes place. I think what for me works is that in the pre-tribulational position, there's at least an honest attempt to sort out all the pieces of the eschatological puzzle, where in some views they just dismiss all of that and try to explain none of it, but still hold to the idea, well, he will come one day. He will. The question is, will he come for you?
Mm. Thank you for the call. Steve is next in Salina, Kansas. Steve, you're on the air.
You know, Jim and Dr. Heinzen, I've listened to Crosstalk for 13 years, and it's so well laid out, and there's such joy, but such terror for those left behind. And even after the rapture, I mean, you can imagine there'd be planes without pilots, cars without, you know, drivers in them, all this chaos going on. And the only way you could explain that away is people believe a lie. I mean, I'm joyful to hear this, but, you know, I've suffered enough in life for those left behind. My heart is broken for them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. And I think that's the balance with which believers have to come to this. Some people get all caught up in the excitement of all this devastation that's going to take place, but it's a horrible devastation.
Mm-hmm.
On a lost world, and as you look at our world today, we're just running away from God in every direction, literally inviting the judgment of God. And the warning of the Bible is, it will come.
You know, it's thank you for the call here, Steve. That was interesting, Dr. Heinzen, as we look back after the devastation of 9/11, how many people were even calling for, we should have a national identification system. You know, everybody should, you know, we want to be sure that the people are here who should be here, etc. And it, as terrible as a calamity 9/11 was, this is going to be a far greater calamity, and I can just hear the peoples of the world calling for that, that's some kind of unification, some kind of universal mark or something to all be counted and included in.
And we now have the technology by which that can be done. That,
yeah.
That's the thing that at least ought to get our attention. You know, when we talk about how much time is left, only the Lord himself knows. But when I look at the world in which we live, I ask myself some key questions. Is Israel back in the land in the last days? Yes. So that would imply we're getting closer to the time of the end. Is the Middle East in chaos that could lead to the great wars of the end times? Yes. Have weapons of mass destruction already been invented? Yes. Does the global economy already exist? Yes. And is the technology in place that could literally control the entire world? We're already there.
Yeah.
Those things already are realities of the world in which we live. They're like flashing lights to get our attention. We are running headlong toward the time of the end. It's time to get serious about God in the future.
Dr. Ed Heinzen with us here today on Crosstalk. We're up against a break. We'll take that break and come back to more of your phone calls as we discuss the topic today, Millions Missing, What Happens Next? We'll be back in 1 minute. This is Crosstalk coming your way from the VCY America Network.
For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brandon House. Our website's worldviewradio.com. One survey after another is showing that young people today want to live under socialism. The question is why? One of the reasons is a lack of education. They have not been taught what socialism really is and how it will really end. History is littered with the philosophies of Karl Marx, i.e. socialism, being worked out. It always ends badly. And yet, many have never been taught this. What they've been given is a lot of lofty platitudes, common good, social justice, shared community. They don't understand the evils of socialism, communism, fascism, Marxism. Ronald Reagan, in his farewell address, pleaded with Americans to preserve America through an informed patriotism. Our young people need that, and it includes Economics 101.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. A reminder that this is day number two of a two-part series on this topic of millions missing. Yesterday, what just happened? Today, millions missing. What happens next? And friends, within just a couple of hours, this program will be posted up on our website, and we would encourage you to grab the link, send it out to others, make others aware of the program that they might listen to, share it with your unsaved friends and family members that they might hear what is coming forth. And at the same time, we have just scratched the surface on these topics, and we'd like to encourage you to obtain the books that are being offered by Dr. Heinsohn. Can we believe in the rapture? Can we still believe in the rapture? A donation of $16 here to Crosstalk, or the book 15 Future Events That Will Shake the World, that gets into each one of the separate events. That's available for donation of $16. Or if you'd like both of these books as a set, both books together, a donation of $25, and it's available right now at vcyamerica.org or by calling toll-free 1-800-729-9829. Jeff in Lancaster, Ohio, you're on the air.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. I have a question about the new heaven and the new earth. In Revelation 21, the word says there will be a new heaven and a new earth, singular. We see that in Matthew 24:35-2, and Jesus promises that. But then in 2 Peter 3:10, it says the heavens will pass away, plural. And I found the same thing in Isaiah 65, where the Lord says, I create new heavens and a new earth, plural. Could you expound on that?
I could. I think the emphasis there is that the atmospheric heavens around the planet will be destroyed after the time of the millennium, that whatever the massive destruction is, whether you view it as a renovation of the planet or elimination, the earth is renewed or destroyed and replaced, the heavens around it, what we would call the atmosphere as well. I don't think those passages are talking about the dwelling place of God. If the heaven, what Paul called the third heaven in Corinthians, is the dwelling place of God, and that's the place where God the Father rules in holiness and righteousness, there would be no reason to have to destroy that and replace that. So I think that's the best way to understand whether heaven is used singularly in some passages or plural. It's the heavens as in the atmosphere. How far that would extend into the universe remains to be seen when it happens. But I think that's the immediate thing that's emphasized there, that as the ancient world looked at what they saw as earth and what they saw as the sky above them, he was saying all of that will be gone one day, replaced by a new heaven and a new earth. And then the new Jerusalem will come down from God out of the ultimate dwelling place of God and hover between what we then call heaven and earth as a kind of almost portal from one area to the other, in which the redeemed people of God will exist in all eternity in glorified bodies.
Jeff, thank you for the call. Our lines are filled. We have but few minutes. Bill is next in Port Charlotte, Florida. Bill, you're on the air.
Thank you very much. My question is, while we're in heaven, will we be able to see the events on earth?
That's a good question. I don't think the Bible gives us a real absolute slam dunk answer on that. You do have the passage in Hebrews 11 that talks about the great cloud of witnesses that have gone on before us. Now, does that mean they're actually watching us, or that they have left an example for us to follow, etc.? But if there's something God wants us to see and know, he'll certainly reveal that to us and allow us to see that. If there's some things that would bring such pain and heartache to us, that they're in heaven in a glorified state, we may or may not know. But I think when we come back with him in the return, we'll certainly know what happened and have a real clear understanding of what has taken place. So my goal is read the Bible, figure out what the Bible tells us is coming in the future, and you'll know what's going to happen whether you live to see it happen in your lifetime or not.
Thank you, Bill. Leroy in Atlanta, Georgia, you're on the air.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about 1 John 2:18, where it talks about Antichrist is already in the world. That was written then, so Antichrist
right.
was around then. Also, as far as the rapture is concerned, for him to come back and pull some people out before he comes back again, that means he's coming back 3 times.
Yeah, we talked about that yesterday.
Yeah.
He's actually only coming back once. The return of Christ has multiple, two aspects to it. He's going to come in the clouds in the rapture, and the believers are caught up in the air to meet the Lord in the air. 1 Thessalonians 4 says that. Yet the return, he comes back with the believers, whom he's already raptured, and they come to the earth with him. So there's only one actual coming to the earth at the return of Christ.
Leroy, please go back and listen to yesterday's program. He was also talking about the Antichrist.
In detail as well.
Mm-hmm.
So you have that emphasis there, I think, real clearly in the Bible. The Antichrist, definitely, the term is only used in John's letters, 1 and 2 John. Other places call him the beast, the man of sin, the son of perdition, the lawless one. There are about 10 different descriptions of him. We deal with that in our book on 15 things that are coming in the future, etc. And what John was saying in 1 John 2:18 was, you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, the singular Antichrist, the big guy. Even now, many antichrists, plural, have already come. And then he goes on to describe them. Who are they? Those are those that deny the deity of Christ and the person of Christ. In other words, every false prophet, every false cult that denies the biblical understanding of the person of Jesus Christ is like a little antichrist. And they keep coming throughout church history. So you've had heretics throughout church history that try to deceive people, but ultimately the ultimate heretic, the ultimate deceiver, is still yet to come in the future, and that guy is not yet here, and we still await the time when he will be revealed after the restrainer is removed. But it's a good question and an important question.
Yeah, thank you, Leroy. And that closing music says we're out of time, and again, we apologize to those yet on hold for the program today. Dr. Ed Heinsohn is our guest. If you'd like to obtain recordings of the program or the books that we've offered, go to vcyamerica.org or call 800-729-9829. And Dr. Heinsohn, thank you so much for joining us on this two-day series.
Glad to do it, and again, keep looking up, because one day the trumpet will sound, the archangel will shout, and the believers are out of here to the glory of God.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Take Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.